This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Tyler Robinson appeared virtually in court today where he was formally charged in the fatal shooting of Charlie Kirk. Earlier, Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray outlined seven charges, including aggravated murder, which carries the death penalty.
Because the defendant is believed to have targeted Charlie Kirk based on Charlie Kirk's political expression, and did so knowing that children were present and would witness the homicide.
The judge says the court is working to appoint Robinson an attorney. ABC's Matt Gutman is in Utah.
But there's only a finite number of lawyers who are certified under what's called Rule A. Rule A qualified attorneys in the state of Utah were qualified with dealing with a capital case. And my understanding from several sources is that some of those people have been reluctant to take on this case because of the backlash that they are concerned about.
Robinson is also being held in special isolation for his own protection, authorities say, from himself and others. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Could Wisconsin State Capitol see additional security? That's what some lawmakers are proposing. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomayulson.
Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety after the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. Kirk was shot and killed from 200 yards away during a speech in Utah on Wednesday. And months ago, Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were gunned down in their home, while another state rep and his wife were shot. Assemblyman Minority Leader Democrat Greta Neubauer says security decisions are in the hands of Republicans.
Given the recent rise in political violence, of course, this is top of mind for many of our colleagues and, of course, the staff who work in the Capitol as well, the press, the guests, the children that come through this building on Capitol visits. So it's an ongoing conversation, and we hope to continue that with our Republican colleagues who, of course, control the safety in our chambers, as well as the other entities in the Capitol.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's open to lawmakers using funding for their offices to increase security at their homes.
I am very confident in the police force that we have inside the Capitol. If you look at the incidents that have occurred, frankly, when you look at Minnesota, it was in their homes. If you look at what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it was in a public venue on a campus. So the idea that we're somehow going to fortify a single building to make people feel safer, when the reality is that most of the violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building, it's been outside or at people's home. One of the things we have talked about is the possibility of people having using their office account for security at their home. You know, if they want to do that, I'm open to that idea.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
A proposal in the last legislative session failed to advance to a vote. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight against the Los Angeles Angels at American Family Field. Milwaukee with a five-game lead over the Cubs in the NL Central. The Angels are in last place in the American League West, 13 games behind the Mariners. NFL. Matt LaFleur says the Packers' 10 penalties last Thursday night were far too many.
We went into the game. We knew that the penalties were going to be a big part of the game, and we had far too many. So obviously the first drive, it negated a touchdown, and then we had pre-snap penalties. You don't want any of those. We had a couple pre-snap penalties. We had a couple penalties on special teams that really played a big impact on field position.
The Packers play the Browns in Cleveland on Sunday. The Minnesota Vikings will be without their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, the next 2 to 4 weeks. McCarthy suffering a high ankle sprain during their loss to the Falcons on Sunday night. Carson Wentz will take over at quarterback. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, warm and muggy with a low in the mid-60s. Hot and humid again tomorrow, high in the mid-80s, some showers and storms in the late afternoon, with increasing clouds throughout the day. Storm chances continue tomorrow night, Thursday, and Friday. Currently, it's 87.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Corrine Hendrickson, a former child care provider, and Francesca Hong, a state legislator, are each looking at making some electoral moves in 2026.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Schwabba.
All right, here we go. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Monday. Connor, did you hear what I just said? Happy Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it is Happy Tuesday. This is a great show tonight that we have in store for you guys. And a little bit of sad news today from the world of show business. Robert Redford passed away today, I guess, in the early morning hours, at the age of 89. A true Hollywood icon, Robert Redford, dead at 89. Terrible news, although that is a pretty good run. And what a legacy he left behind. What a life he lived. I mean, talk about a guy who had incredible success throughout his career and branched off and had other success philanthropically, you know, environment. He was an activist, an environmental activist. He started the Sundance Film Festival, the Sundance Institute. And in addition to having unbelievable acting credits, he also won an Oscar for directing the film Ordinary People with Mary Tyler Moore, Timothy Hutton. I think it was from 1983. He also won an Oscar in 2002, an honorary Oscar for just all the work he did in his career in founding the Sundance Institute. So really kind of bittersweet because he was a old guy, had a great career. You still hate to see him go. It's kind of a sad day. Despite the fact that he lived almost 9 decades. Robert Redford. We will talk about Robert Redford throughout the show. We will mention him in our question of the night, so be prepared for that, folks. And at 7:05, we will have some clips from one of my favorite films of all time is The Sting, and he was in The Sting with Paul Newman and Bernard Shaw. And I was on the Todd Allbaugh Show today talking about Robert Redford, and Todd told a story I didn't know. I knew that Paul Newman went to bat for Robert Redford to be in the cast of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, which really put him on the map. I did not know that in 1975, it was Robert Redford that went to bat for Paul Newman to get him in The Sting. I mean, Paul Newman is a legend. And in 1975, or even before that, when they started production, I don't know, what was he, 50? Like, it's not like he was over the hill. So, great friends and a great story. So, we'll hear a little more about Robert Redford throughout the rest of the show. And this is a fun show tonight, folks. We have Dr. Susan Kearns will be here at 6:35. There's a really, really cool film festival in Milwaukee that's taking place. And we're going to tell you all about that. Susan is going to tell you all about that. And she's a really fun guest. We have her on from time to time because Milwaukee Film is a very active group. And they do a lot of cool things for documentary film. And in this case, it will be for independent film. And in this case, it will be for documentary films that we will discuss this cool festival. And then at 7:20, Trapper Shep will be here.
I've been a fan of Trapper's music really, I would say, for about a year and a half. Every Friday here at Nightlight, we do Bar Band Friday Night. Terry Barr comes on and brings us new music. Oftentimes, there are Wisconsin-based artists who you can see playing around the state. She introduced me to the music of Trapper Shep, and I've been trying to get him on the show since. Not harassing him or anything, but reaching out periodically, and finally, we were able to make it happen. We sat down with Trapper yesterday, and we will play that interview at 7:20, and that will take us to the end of the show. We're going to hear a couple of his tunes. A great story he tells about finishing a Bob Dylan song. He found lyrics to a song that Dylan wrote called Wisconsin that were not finished, and they were about to be auctioned off. And Trapper got the lyrics, wrote his own lyrics to go with it, composed it, arranged it, and sent it in, and Bob Dylan liked it. And as a result, the song On Wisconsin is co-written by Trapper Shep and the legendary Bob Dylan. So very excited to have him on the show tonight. And there you go. Conrad, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good.
You were producing a show earlier when I reached out. What show were you producing?
Well, it's a new show. It's called Always On Point.
Ah.
Well, it's their second season, but it's a podcast. They only did the podcast last year. Now they're on the radio and doing the podcast, and that's on Sundays.
Look at that.
On right Civic after Media. Crystal Lyerly, yeah.
Nice. Outstanding. And you record Kristen's show on Wednesdays, right?
It depends on the week, whatever time she needs, I'll get it there for
her. Good doctor is a busy girl. No question
is.
About that. We are going to have her on the show next week, so that'll be fun. All right. So as I mentioned, Robert Redford has passed away, and that is the perfect lead into our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay. Question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
I'm sure you can see this one coming a mile away, folks. What is your favorite Robert Redford film? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Now, I realize he is 89 years old, and for some of our younger listeners, maybe in Conrad's demographic or 10 or so years older than that, just to refresh your memory, All the President's Men, and a lot of these are going to be older titles, but they're on all the time. The Natural, Sneakers, The Sting, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, The Way We Were with Barbara Streisand. Pardon me. Robert Redford is a showbiz titan and, by all accounts, a really good guy who just led a great life. So that's our question tonight. Very simple. What is your favorite Robert Redford movie? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the Civic Media app, which is very easy to use. We're on statewide on most of the stations, so you just click the little icon right next to the station you're listening on and fire away. And if you're listening on or watching on the stream on YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can drop a stream comment, and we will read that on the radio as well. So that's our question of the night. What is your favorite Robert Redford movie? And I'm excited. I'm going to go first. I'll just say The Sting. As I mentioned, I was on Todd Alba's show earlier in the day, this afternoon, and when I saw The Sting, it was one of those movies that just made me want to be in the movie. Not acting in the movie, but in the world. It was so beautifully constructed. Shot a lot of it in Chicago, but a lot of it on a lot in L.A. I think on the Fox lot, because I remember being in that area one time and somebody pointed it out, and I saw the place from the scene where Robert Redford basically jumped off the steps of a walk-up trying to avoid two goons who were coming to kill him. And even though that wasn't on location, it was on a back, it just looked beautiful. The whole film is outstanding. The aesthetics of it are gorgeous. The acting is amazing. The writing. And then you got Scott Joplin's music and the soundtrack. And it's just a great film about how they conned Doyle Lonergan, played by Robert Shaw. So that would be my favorite Redford film. But loved Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Loved The Natural. And I really love All the President's Men, another film that you kind of feel when you're watching it, the creepiness and the eeriness of what's around the corner. Conrad, you got a fave?
Yeah, I'd say, when I can't remember what grade it was, I think seventh, we read The Great Gatsby.
Oh, yeah.
And then we watched the movie after we were done with it. And we didn't watch the Leo DiCaprio version. We watched the Robert Redford, Great Gatsby, nice. Which okay. I believe came out in like 1980s or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I didn't realize it until I was like, oh, I wonder what movies. Today I looked it up. I was like, wait a second.
Boy, that's a... I want to say, I'm trying to look that up right now. I think Robert Redford, okay. Great Gatsby had to be late 70s maybe?
Yeah. It was... Yeah, it's a... It's such a fantastic movie, though.
Oh yeah, no, it's excellent.
You talk about wanting to be in a film.
Yes,
I think that's one of them.
On Long Island and the big homes and that. Yeah, that was a beautifully made film as well. So that's what we're talking about, folks. Let us know what your favorite Robert Redford film is. I say The Sting. Khan says The Great Gatsby. Kind of a film I forgot that he was. Totally forgot about that movie, maybe because they remade it. He's also a creative force behind the film Dark Winds, which is, I think, an A&E show? I watched the whole run of the show. Really enjoyed it. It's about a reservation cop, and Robert De Niro is one of the executive producers behind it, a TV show. They did 20 episodes. Good show. I recommended it. I think I made it a Pete's pick and got his start on... Hitchcock Presents, and then did a Neil Simon play on Broadway called The Way We Were, which he later starred in the movie with Barbara Streisand. So that was kind of, I think that was like his second movie role, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, that will be dominating a lot of our talk tonight. But Robert Redford, let us know what your favorite Robert Redford movie is. I think we have a call, Con. Who's on the phone?
Yeah, Tracy from Green Bay.
Oh, Tracy. Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Hello. Good.
How's it going tonight?
My favorite was A Walk in the Woods, his latest one.
Oh, I see. I have not seen that. All right, I have to see that.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
What kind of movie was that, Tracy? Was it like a thriller or a drama?
It was a comedy. It was with Nick Nolte.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Oh,
it's not really comedy. There's funny parts in it. It's about getting old and walking that big long that goes from one state to another.
Okay,
it's actually from a real book.
Oh yeah, yeah. Nick Nolte and Emma Thompson play opposite Redford.
Yeah.
From 2015. I have not seen that. I will have to check that out. That's fantastic.
Gotta watch it.
All right. I appreciate the recommendation. Thank you, Tracy.
All right.
Have a great night. She's from Green Bay, Conrad. That's where we are. She could be right around the corner from where. She could be down at Hagermeister Park.
She could be upstairs.
Having a buffalo burger. She could be. I'll tell you where she's not is in the kitchen. That is a bad smell. I don't know what is happening in the kitchen here tonight.
Did you walk in there and, you know?
No, I didn't. I don't do those kinds of things because I'm a civilized human being.
Yeah, I just had to make sure.
Go in the kitchen and rip one? You think I'm that guy? No. I go down to the Fox River where no one can tell the difference.
Okay.
So, just for future reference. Boy, we got a lot of candidates out here tonight for window love.
You got to get a big group once.
I know. Just get like a choral group or something. You know what I did today? I cut my finger. Paper cut. It's hard to even, like, it's one of those things you don't even want to talk about because you sound like, you know, kind of a wuss or whatever, but like they can be really painful. Like I was opening almonds today and the blue diamond almonds, you peel that sort of foil back and I sliced my finger. Like if that had been my like jugular, and a lot of times I open almonds really close to my jugular just so I can smell them when I'm opening. But it was like bleeding profusely. I'm like, this is crazy. I don't know.
That's... hilarious that you did that opening almonds.
I feel like I need to talk about veterans now to get the stink off that story I just told. Did you know that Nick Cannon has a podcast where he's giving relationship advice?
That's great. Are you going to listen?
One episode, how to have 12 kids and give them really weird names. And then you're done. I don't think you need anything more.
Yeah.
Oh, fun stuff tonight, folks. Susan Kearns is here at 6:35 talking about a really cool event coming up from Milwaukee Film. And then Trapper Shep is here at 7:20. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Robert Redford movie? We are live till 7:20, folks. So get those answers in and we'll read them on the radio. When we come back, I don't know. What should we do, Conrad? Maybe talk about Nick Cannon's kids.
Talk about the Bears' loss.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I really want to go with you. I really want to show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back. Dude, I asked you not to tell me about the Bears. I have the game TiVo'd. I don't know what happened yet. Please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you.
Can I at least tell you the score difference?
You know, here's the thing. I will find a way to get back at you. And you can look. And here's the thing. As a sports fan, all my teams have won championships in the last 20. I can take it because I'm very fortunate. I have so many friends that cheer against my teams. My heart is so filled with love. I want them to experience. I want them to when the Bucks won, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
They're not my number one team, but I was happy about it. And I have no ill will. But if I was like a Cleveland fan right now, I'm not cheering for anybody but my teams. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, that's got some rough roads.
Just the worst. They've got to be one of the worst franchises in the world in any sport. They're like Ted Lasso. They should have that woman running. And I mean the actress.
You know, I saw a graphic today, and it was over the last 100 seasons, the record. Or last 100 games, sorry.
Oh, wow.
And Cleveland was actually above the Bears.
Over the last 100 years?
Games is what I meant.
Oh, games. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, okay. 100, the flagship franchise. Oh, my great-grandpa went to high school with George Halas.
Okay.
And the old Mayor Daley. And my cousins, somehow the family tickets ended up on the wrong side of the tree.
Oh, no.
But and they're great. They're like 50-yard line seats. I think they have like four of them, and they throw them to us once in a while, and they're awesome guys. I don't think I would pay for that, because I don't think I would
go to every game.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if like my team was in a town like Green Bay and it like they played down the street.
Yeah, that's a little easier to get to.
It's a little easier. And frankly, if I lived in Chicago, I would live downtown. I wouldn't want to live way out, so I'd probably use them, but I'm not going to use, you know.
You know, I heard it's very hard to get out of Soldier Field when the game's done.
People need to stop complaining. They are such whiny. I'm telling you. Okay, so just, I know this is Chicago talk, but like when they were talking about the stadium downtown, I have friends in the suburbs. Getting all the way down there is a pain. I go, it's 8 Sundays a year. It's not easy to get to any. Even Green Bay is a hassle. Even if you live in town, there's a production. It's easier here. But stop complaining. It's a professional sports team. Unbelievable. So I read this. I thought this was interesting. It said Robert Redford died at 89 years old in his sleep, surrounded by family. How creepy is that?
They just were watching him?
I guess so. Like, I just thought that created kind of a weird visual. Like, give the guy some space.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Bobby Redford, no longer with us. That's terrible. Susan Kearns will be here in just a few minutes, folks, to tell us all about the Dialogues Documentary Film Festival in Milwaukee. Very excited to have Susan back on the show, and Trapper Shep at 7:20. Going to social media. Our responses on our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite Robert Redford film? Sarah Jean says, This Property is Condemned. He co-starred with Natalie Wood, who is one of my favorites. Wow, I have not seen that. Thank you, Sarah Jean. Sarah Jean is, I don't know if you noticed, she's a very savvy texter. She always pulls stuff out I'm not expecting. That's exciting. Matt Harper, Jeremiah Johnson. Yeah, great film, Matt. I remember watching that when I was much younger. Really good film. I needed to rewatch a lot of these, though, frankly, because I just kind of remember how I felt about them and not the nuts and bolts, other than like four or five of them. Boris Hamilton, my pal, says there's a few, but Sneakers is a lot of fun. Sneakers is fun. Like kind of a high-tech hacker film. That's one of the first hacker films, I think.
It's not about sneakers?
They are sneakers.
Oh.
It's not about the shoes, though, but they sneak in and they wear sneakers because they're quieter. So I need to rewatch a lot of these. Jody Hinman on social media says, The Natural. I feel like we're going to hear a lot of that tonight. Yeah, and Sean Boyce also on Facebook, The Natural. It's my sister Julie's favorite movie. One of her favorite movies. She named her dog Roy Hobbs after Redford's character in The Natural. She gave her dog a full man's name, Roy Hobbs. And she'd say, come here, Roy Hobbs. Sometimes she'd call him Roy, but she would say the full, like she loved that movie.
You should have gave a middle name too, so it's like. That then you're scolding the dog.
Roy William Hobbs, you come in here right this second. Yeah, exactly. Let's go to some of our text responses for our question of the night. Your favorite Robert Redford film. The 608 says, thanks. It affects all of us. No, those are not meant for us. Tyler is our first one, right?
I think so.
And I don't know what this quote is. I want to say this is from Jeremiah Johnson. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, can you skin a grizz, Pilgrim? I think that's Jeremiah Johnson. Todd Albo was saying today that his favorite Redford film was The Electric Horseman. And that was a great film. It was Robert Redford, Jane Fonda, and it had a great commentary just kind of on, you know, glitz and all that kind of stuff. And it was a really good film. Willie Nelson sings the song, My Heroes Have Always Been Cowboys. Can you grab that song? That's a great tune. Willie Nelson. That's another one. We were talking about that earlier. When Willie Nelson passes away, that's going to be a rough day too. Anna from Addison in the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Robert Redford film is The Way We Were. Redford and Streisand were great together. Yes, they were. Very a great choice, Anna. Thank you. Steve from Florida, that's Conrad's dad, says, all-time greatest Robert Redford movies. The Natural, a great inspirational movie for me, for your dad, personally, Conrad. That's cool. And The Sting, all-time greatest con job movie to take down a very bad man. Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. That's one of my all. That's probably, The Sting is probably top five for me. Tom from New Berlin says, he's in the 414, says, Pete started scrolling. He was in a clam bake with Elvis Presley? Is that true, Tom? I got to look that up in the break. All right, keep those texts coming, folks. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Susan Kearns from Milwaukee Film, telling us about this really cool film festival they have happening shortly. And then Trapper Shep at 720. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Tom Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin Republicans are putting together a package of bills to reform education in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
These bills aren't even drafted yet, so there weren't a ton of details available at a press conference this week. But Republicans in the Assembly focused heavily on districts with declining enrollment and declining funding. One of their big solutions is to encourage more districts to combine. There are more than 400 of them across Wisconsin, and record numbers of them are going to referendum, asking residents to increase their own taxes just to keep the district afloat. Representative Amanda Nedweski from Pleasant Prairie.
Consolidation has long-term positive effects on both students and taxpayers. So we need to stop the cycle of never-ending referendums. Now, Democrats might argue that the solution is simply to throw more money at the problem, but it does not solve the issue that there are just less kids being born today than there were 20 years ago.
School advocates and administrators say declining enrollment isn't the problem. It's the formula itself and a lack of funding from lawmakers. State school aid has not kept up with inflation for more than a decade. Republicans' plans also include revamping the math curriculum and what they're calling a teacher's bill of rights, which they say would standardize discipline for students. They also want Wisconsin to opt in to a federal school choice program passed as part of President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill earlier this year. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer criticized Republicans' plans, saying, quote, Republicans' K-12 education plans won't address the challenges facing working families or give our kids the opportunities they deserve. We shouldn't be talking about consolidating districts. We should be investing in our local schools, end quote. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Some of the Republicans' proposals have already been brought up in the legislature in past sessions and failed. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If this past weekend box office earnings are any indication, anime has completely arrived. Demon Slayer Infinity Castle found itself at the top of the box office with a $70 million opening weekend. Its opening day take of $33 million was the highest opening ever for an anime film. Last week's number one film, The Conjuring Last Rites, held off three challengers for the number two spot and a take of $26 million. The three new releases include Downton Abbey, which brought in $18 million big ones in its first week of release to finish at number three. The Stephen King-inspired The Long Walk pulled in $11.5 million over the weekend. The film is based on King's first novel of the same title. And in fifth place was sort of a new release, or more accurately, a new re-release, as Toy Story brought in over $3 million on over 200 screens, giving it a massive haul of $195 million dating back about 30 years. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, warm and muggy with a low in the mid-60s. Hot and humid again tomorrow, high in the mid-80s, some showers and storms in the late afternoon, with increasing clouds throughout the day. Storm chances continue tomorrow night, Thursday, and Friday.
We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Matt Nair on air.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping
in
chess.
Listen to you laugh.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This week we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Grew up dreaming of being a cowboy.
Welcome back.
And loving the cowboy ways.
Willie Nelson's no spring chicken either, man. I think he's 91. That's a great tune. My heroes have always been cowboys from the movie Electric Horseman that starred Robert Redford and Jane Fonda. All right, we will read more of your text. Our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite Robert Redford movie? And I have to make an apology and a mea culpa here. We have a great new sponsor here on the show who sponsors our first guest of the week. But yesterday we were kind of discombobulated a little bit and it slipped away. So we're going to have our sponsor both guests tonight, which will be exciting. Chicken and the egg. I've got to get my copy, and I'll do that because Chicken and the Egg is sponsoring both guests tonight. So we will read you everything they offer. It's coming up right now. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight, back to Nightlight, I should say. She's been here a few times before. The executive director of Milwaukee Film, Dr. Susan Kearns. Susan, welcome back.
Hi, thanks so much for having me back.
It's always nice to have a doctor in the house, even if you're over the phone.
Well, I do what I can.
It's better than nothing. It's great to have you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well, very well. I was sad to hear about the passing of Robert Redford. I heard your memorials or your little tribute there. So he was a great actor.
Yeah, he sure was. And what a career. I mean, acting, directing, producing. Do you have a favorite Robert Redford film, Susan?
I love All the President's Men.
Yeah.
I think it's just fantastic. So that's right up there.
I watch that every election cycle, like every 4 years. It's one of those movies I think that is timeless, and I love the aesthetics of it, the setting, and the kind of what's around the cornerness of it. It's just so great. It's such a great film.
Yeah.
Great choice.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Very cool. Okay, well, you've got this great film festival coming up, the Dialogues Documentary Festival. From September 18th through the 21st, Milwaukee Film is so active, and you guys do such great things for the community there in Milwaukee, but also for those of us who don't mind a road trip to one of your great film festivals, whether it's the Milwaukee Film Festival or the second annual. I didn't realize that until earlier today. This is the second annual Dialogues Documentary Fest.
Yeah, so we just started this last year, and it's really a chance to showcase more of the amazing documentaries that come out throughout the year. As you probably know, documentaries don't often get their time in the sun in movie theaters. You just don't see them in the theaters that often. And there's so many great documentaries that are coming out all the time. So we like to, you know, give just a few days, 4 days, to really focus on them and bring them to, you know, to the audiences of Southeast Wisconsin.
You know, it's funny. You have so many films, and you're right. And I love the fact that documentarians get to watch their film with a packed movie house, because I don't think that happens nearly enough as well. And there's such great documentaries, and they seem like they're more popular than ever. But it's usually people sitting at home on Discovery or Prime or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're trying to change that with this festival. And part of the reason we call it Dialogues Documentary Festival is because we're also really trying to pair a number of these films with discussion of some kind. So obviously we'll have a bunch of the filmmakers in town, but we also have, you know, some local folks who are engaged in either like similar areas or similar topics who will be able to contribute to the experience as well.
I was reading the press release that Robin Ehrlich sent me, and I read this, and I couldn't believe this. It said, these are all unbelievable true stories. Is that all of them? That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what you hope for with documentaries anyway, is that they're true. Yeah.
No mockumentaries, I guess. All right, all right. Your list of films is so long, I don't even know where to start, but are there any highlights that you can give us, or can I ask you about various ones? I don't want to put you on the spot because, you know, even as good as you are at your job, there are a ton of movies at this festival.
Sure. Well, I'll point out a couple that I'm excited about. I will say that on Saturday, you know, for folks traveling up, because I know your audience tends to have a little bit more of a drive, Saturday is just an amazing day because there's, you know, four movies in each theater. Our full festival pass is only $65. Yeah. So if you even just come for one day, that is 100% worth it. I mean, obviously you can buy individual tickets too. But on Saturday, one of the films they're showing is called We Are Pat. And I don't know if you remember the character Pat from Saturday Night Live.
Julia Sweeney, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, this movie is so charming, and basically it's, you know, the filmmaker really saying that, like, the filmmaker loved this character when they were a kid, and then looking back, they were like, is this character problematic? And they started to realize that they saw themselves in this character, and, you know, and were like, the character doesn't really fit today, but what they wanted to do was figure out, like, how can we still find joy in this character, and why does this character still resonate? So they team up with Julia Sweeney, who's in much of the documentary. It's so charming and so smart and really just a nuanced look at, like, how comedy changes, but there are elements that still really, you know, can still resonate with folks. And so I was really charmed by that film.
My guest is Dr. Susan Curran. She's the executive director of Milwaukee Film. They do great things in the Milwaukee community when it comes to independent film. And they have two great venues. So if you're listening in the Milwaukee area right now, the Oriental and the Downer, four films in each on Saturday. Susan just told us about one of them. And so will there be a Q&A after that one, Susan?
That one, no. Those filmmakers actually could not, unfortunately, make it. But, it's still absolutely worth seeing, especially, again, on the big screen. Yeah.
This, I thought was interesting. There's one you have here called Farming While Black, about black farmers. And it said that they used to own, or at least in the film description, 14% of the farms were owned by black people. And I think if that was just in America, I think their population out of all of us was like 10%. So that's a really impressive number. But now it's like 2%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this documentary really sort of dives into that and, you know, what happened. And I think one of the things that people don't always think about when they think of farming is just, like, how involved politics are with you know, the landscape of farming. Now, in Wisconsin, we're a little more tapped into it than a lot of states are, but it's just a really interesting look at how that situation changed and what changed over the years to cause that shift.
I also liked, and I you don't have to, if you don't have these on the tip of your tongue, that's fine, but there's one called Cat Town USA that looked interesting about old cats and the connection with their owners. That looked great. And then Kristen Catalano, who made a documentary several years ago called Clarence, I interviewed her on PBS Wisconsin. Great film. She has a film in the Dialogues Documentary Fest called Malignant Practice about women's healthcare that looks interesting.
Yeah, and so that screens on Sunday, and that's actually the world premiere of Malignant Practice. So, yeah, so there will be a number of folks there. She'll be there. Some of the other filmmakers will be there as well. And it's just, it's an incredibly personal doc about, you know, about how, like, how you survive getting a diagnosis, but also what then happens when you have to navigate the healthcare system. And how, you know, the diagnosis is one thing, and then the healthcare system becomes another challenge on top of the health issue itself. So I think it's something that, unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, can really relate to.
And it's an animated short, too, which I find interesting to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. And it's a bit longer. I think it's about 45 minutes. So it's not quite as short, but it's not quite a feature. So.
Okay. You can find more information, folks, and I assume get tickets, Susan, correct me if I'm wrong, at www.mkefilm.org/DDF. But I think if you just get to Milwaukee Film, you can navigate it, and there'll be a ton of information there, I would imagine.
Yep, absolutely.
So are you producing any films right now, Susan? I was reading up more about you, and earlier today, I was like, she knows so many of the same people I do, and the people that I've interviewed on PBS, these independent filmmakers, this great community in Milwaukee. I know you've worked with Tate Bunker and John Bezak and Chris Thompson and all these great filmmakers that I really have enjoyed talking to over the years. Are you involved in any projects right now?
I sure am. Yep.
And where does that fall, your love of filmmaking as opposed to what you do now? Do you have a preference?
I wouldn't say I have a preference. I like being able to, to be in both worlds. But I will admit that, where it falls right now is mostly on, weekends when I can fit it in because I'm very busy with the festival and Milwaukee Film in general. But I've been working with, a filmmaker named Lily Warren for a number of years on a feminist true crime documentary called Uncoiled. So we're trying to get that in shape. So yeah, hopefully that'll be out within the next, couple of years anyway.
That's the voice of Susan Kearns. The second annual Dialogues Documentary Festival, Film Festival, runs in Milwaukee September 18th through the 21st at the Downer and Oriental Theaters. Go to mkefilm.org for more information. Before we let you go, Susan, are you binge watching anything you could share with us? Something you didn't produce or were part of?
Well, I will tell you what I watched most recently that I'm not binge watching, but I'm excited about, which is the new season of Taskmaster. I don't know if you've watched that. It's a British comedy show that is only available on YouTube. It is a delight. It is so funny. It's a great way to spend the last hour of your day. So Taskmaster, I think this is season 20. So if you like silly tasks, comedians doing silly tasks, it is 100% the show for you.
I have never heard of that. I will check that out. I appreciate that. Thank you. What about movies? Have you seen anything you could recommend either in the theater or any good indie films?
Last weekend we had Michael Schultz in town, and so I was really preparing for that, and I rewatched Cooley High and Car Wash, and just both of those films hold up so incredibly well. It was watching both of those on the big screen with an audience. It's what it reminded me is just how different it is to see a movie, even a movie you've seen a number of times at home, how different it is to see it on the big screen, because you can immediately interact with like camera movement differently and character emotion differently. And it was a good reminder of why we do what we do. It was really excellent.
I never wanted to be a Milwaukee resident more than when I saw he was going to be there, because I remember Car Wash specifically when I was younger. And how did that interview go? Is he like, I would imagine he's really engaging just because of the career he's had, but is he kind of more reserved or is he outgoing?
Oh, no, he was a dream. Yeah. I mean, he was chatting with everybody. I actually joked that we were going to make him the mayor by the end of the weekend. but he was just so approachable. He had friends from high school who showed up that he hadn't seen in over 50 years. He had Very family cool. show up that he had never met. It was just so, so great.
Conrad, memo, we got to get Michael Schultz on the show. That would be very cool. Well, I'm glad it went well. Good luck with this new Documentary Dialogues Film Festival. It sounds great, Susan. And thank you, as always, for your time. Always fun to talk to you.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I'll hope to see you at the theater.
All right. Sounds good. That's Susan Kearns. Check out, ladies and gentlemen, the Dialogues Documentary Film Festival. This is the second annual. It's only the second year. So it's still kind of in its infancy, but they have so many films to choose from. So check it out and report back to us here at Nightlight. And when we come back, we're going to tell you about Chicken and the Egg promo. And I have a really funny clip with Steve Carell. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cowboys are special, with their own brand of misery from being alone too long.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling.
Welcome
yeah.
back. It's Flo Rida's birthday. What better way to celebrate than with a good feeling? That's a great tune.
It, you know, that just reminds me of my childhood.
I know. And that's what, that's like when my kids, you know, I just remember hearing that. It would, I think Flo Rida performed on the, at the Nick Awards or Disney Awards or something. And it was like this incredible performance. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So there you go. This segment, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Chicken or the Egg Photography. Chris specializes in food, event, music, and product photography for businesses across Wisconsin and the Midwest. See what he can do for you at chickenortheeggphotography.com. Chris is a great guy, folks, and he does great work. He's been on the show before, and he is a new sponsor to Nightlight and will be with us for the next few weeks at least. So we will excitedly have him back on the show. Check out his work at his website. He does really, really good work. And Trapper Shep is coming up at 7:20. I talked to Trapper yesterday, and we played a couple of his songs, and we are going to air that interview at 7:20, so we will be live until then. So get your texts in now if you want us to read them. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Robert Redford film? Robert Redford passed away today at the age of 89. So there you go. We've got several texts we need to get to here. So let's do that. You know what we have to do, though, also? I want to play this Steve Carell clip. So let's do that.
Yeah, because it's hilarious.
This is Steve Carell auditioning for The Anchorman. And you know more about the film than I do, probably, Con. I've seen it once, maybe one and a half times. And he, this is was an actual scene from the movie that was cut, though, right?
Yeah, it was cut, which I rewatched after you sent me this. I was like, all right, I have to watch the scene now.
Yeah.
I still can't believe it got cut. It's so funny.
I mean, just him auditioning. He's auditioning like he's holding like a sweet roll, right? But it's actually a coffee filter with cigarette ashes in it or something.
Yeah, coffee grounds.
And he's just cracking up. So a lot of it, some of it is visual. It's Steve Carell laughing, but you can hear it. It's great energy, and it's a really funny clip.
Falafel hot dogs with cinnamon and bacon on top.
What do you mean one of those? Those don't exist. That's a used coffee filter with cigarette butts on it.
Well, I got it out of the food basket at the end of the lunch line.
That's a garbage can. Although with the cooking here, there's not much difference. It's really true. The cooking's very bad here.
It's terrible.
You're gonna get sick. I'll just tell you one more time. You're gonna get sick.
So much fun.
No, it is. Fun.
I have such a good time with you guys. Oh no, no, no! I'm a joke. Don't make me laugh. Okay. No, oh, one more. Oh.
Brick, you want some water? Water? Maybe.
I got nothing. That was all legitimate laughter. He was reading with Will Ferrell, because I'm sure it was like a final callback. And you can hear them all cracking up. And Steve Carell, with that awkward laughter he has, like he's just trying to fit in. It's so awkward and funny. And he's cracking up. That is a gem. I don't even know where I saw that. It was on like Instagram or something. But I love when those things pop up. Very funny stuff. All right. So we've got our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite Robert Redford movie? Robert Redford passed away today. Let's get to some of these texts before it gets to be too late. Craig Knitt on the stream says, Jeremiah Johnson is fantastic. But for me, Robert Redford will always be the Sundance Kid for more reasons than one. Yeah, that's a great, hard to go wrong with the Sundance Kid because that's the movie that kind of put him on the map. John in Madison says, it sure as hell is an indecent proposal. But Woody was good in that one. You know what, John? I agree with you, but... that was a pretty bad movie. But I think more so it didn't age well. I didn't really like it when it came out. It's Demi Moore. And No, it's Woody Harrelson and who played his wife. That was the one where he wanted to sleep with his wife for $1 million. And it wasn't a great movie. But they can't all be gems, John. Stu in Jefferson says, Spy Games. Yes, Brad Pitt, great film. Thank you, Stu. John also says, never saw that kind of desperation coming from Robert. Hope to hell he didn't direct it. Couldn't tell you if he directed that or not. But look, somebody backs up a truck full of money to his house, and he gets to work with Woody Harrelson, and now I got to find out. Con, can you find out who the female lead is in...
Demi Moore?
I think it's Demi Moore. I'm pretty sure. I have to go though. Dave, texting us in the old school line tonight, as opposed to the stream. Dave says, a river runs through it. Yeah, that I have fond memories of watching. I watched that with my dad and my brother. Great movie. John in Madison also says, love that Robert established the Sundance Film Festival. Bravo and kudos. What a great idea for small filmmakers. Yes, it was a great idea at the time. And I said earlier on the Todd Alba show that I thought that because of the Sundance Film Festival, that's probably the reason we have 15 to 20 film festivals in Wisconsin now. It just started something. Like, it wasn't the first film festival ever, but man, they caught fire. And they're all over the place now, and I think it's great. Tom from New Berlin says The Unfinished Life, Redford, Morgan Freeman, and J-Lo Becca Gardner. I don't know that movie, Tom. Another one to add to the list. Thank you, buddy. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, that is Jeremiah Johnson. His response was something like, I can skin anything. Yeah, okay, I thought it was Jeremiah Johnson. Due for a rewatch on that one, too. Let's see if we can get one more in here. John from Madison. Again, The Sting was my first taste. Awesome performance, and he's damn near as handsome as me. I used to concede that he was more handsome for his career's sake. But now the truth comes out. Yeah, you can say it now, John. You're more handsome than Robert Redford. But you're hiding out in Madison. Get yourself to Hollywood, buddy. All right, when we come back, we're going to recap everything you've missed. We got a couple great Robert Redford clips, too. And we'll do all that when we come back. And Trapper Shep is here at 7:20. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer, the accused killer of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, making his very first court appearance over webcam today before Judge Tony Gaff.
Could you state your name?
Tyler James Robinson.
This shortly after prosecutors in Utah announced they'll seek the death penalty against the 22-year-old.
County Attorney Jeff Gray described Robinson's appearance in widely circulated photos, the black cap, shades, T-shirt, with an eagle and an American flag. Millions saw those images. One of them was the suspect's own mother.
Robinson's parents were able to convince him to meet at their home. As they discussed the situation, Robinson implied that he was the shooter and stated that he couldn't go to jail and just wanted to end it.
Prosecutors say Robinson's parents convinced him to turn himself in.
ABC's Matt Gutman at the heart of the investigation, Robinson's text messages to his roommate where he claimed he used his grandpa's rifle, a rifle authorities say had Robinson's DNA on the trigger. This is ABC News.